This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tune in for baseball action tomorrow night. Dodgers and the Padres, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Did CeCe leave to get a haircut?
Maybe.
Where did he go? CeCe is gone. He has left to get a haircut here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Ran into somebody in the hallway. They're probably talking draft.
No, they better be talking haircuts. Does he owe a dollar to the jar?
I don't know.
Jar?
Let's ask Vegas East.
Vegas
East. Jar.
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 How much, a dollar?
I have prepaid for 10.
I'm scheduled to get a haircut next week. So, yeah, tell him he needs to put some money in that jar.
Oh, Nuno, I love that. Getting a fresh haircut before we go to Detroit for the draft. I see what you're doing.
Exactly.
All right. There is the Masters are going on, obviously. And the big story from the last 24 hours with the Masters, obviously, was Tiger Woods and the weather. Right. Two things. Now he's back from his haircut. Tiger Woods and the weather are the two stories so far with the Masters. As obviously we had the delay yesterday. Bryson DeChambeau is in first place at 7 under. Scotty, just come in, CeCe. Who cares? Don't worry. Rob walks in the shots all the time. Scotty Scheffler, 6 under.
Jeez.
What? Wait, you're not going to have him come back to the show?
No, because we're calling out Rob, though? Do we have to call out Rob?
Rob yesterday, while I was on Greeny, kept walking in front of the cameras. And I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? I had no idea we weren't on TV.
There you go.
And Hembo said to me, you don't realize that there's nobody in here with the cameras? I said, I never realized one time. Anyway, you all right?
No, I'm just saying, very aware of you.
Yeah.
Very astute.
Yeah, anyway. So, Tiger is 1 under for the round yesterday. And Andy North, ESPN golf analyst and two-time major winner, was on SportsCenter talking about Tiger's preparation and his method for the first and second rounds.
Basically, he's going to be right now in the process of getting all kinds of rehab. He's going to try to get a little bit of sleep. I'm guessing if he's lucky, he gets 3 hours of sleep. He'll be back up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do the treatments before he comes to the golf course. He's going to be in the practice tee somewhere between 6:30 and 6:45 in the morning. Then he tees off at 7:50. Then he finishes that round. Hopefully he gets done about 9:15 or so. He'll have 1 hour to get ready for the second round.
Is that a good time or no?
I think he'd like to have it just a little bit shorter so he doesn't lock up at all. So I'm sure he'll hit some more balls and try to stay really loose and go out there and try to play a great second day.
So I know, CeCe, this is something you're worried about. It's not that you're worried about how Tiger played yesterday. We're all thrilled about that, that he is 1 under, but worried about the wear and tear of the amount of golf he's going to play today.
Yeah, he's got to play 23 holes of golf. Like, that is the big challenge for Tiger Woods. Remember, the last time we saw him on a golf course was at Riviera, and he had to tap out the second day. Mm-hmm. And now, that was supposed to be because of illness, but you can't help but wonder, is he going to be capable of playing 23 holes of golf? That's why the weather was such a big concern yesterday and getting out to the delayed start, because he's got to have 5 holes of golf this morning and then turn around after an hour break, an hour where you're probably going to get cold, where you're probably going to tighten up, and then you got to play 18 more holes of golf. So forgetting about the mental aspect of this and how hard that is to get restarted, but then you've also got the physical wear and tear of walking a hilly golf course like Augusta National.
Yeah, having that hour break, as Andy North said, if you're Tiger, you certainly might want it to be shorter just because you don't want to get cold. You want to make sure that you stay in that rhythm and that routine. But I'm also not going to stress too much about it. And I'm going to enjoy the fact that Tiger Woods is 1 under. And it's something that we haven't seen him do at this point since 1999. I'm going to enjoy that we're having this conversation about Tiger Woods having a great first showing in the Masters. Because when Tiger is in the mix, it's better for everybody. Golf is certainly not devoid of stars, but nobody matches the star power that Tiger Woods brings. So I'm going to enjoy Tiger Woods being in this position for as long as I can.
How do we think it'll change our mindset if he just makes the cut? Not winning, just makes the cut. He said the other day that he basically gave us the conclusion to his career. I took it as if he gets one more, he's done, right? He is gunning for one more, and he's not going to then try to get 16, 17, 18 to get to Jack. It seems like one more is where he's going right now. If he makes the cut, does it make us think he could actually get the one more?
Yes, if his short game and the flat stick are as good as they were yesterday, yes. Oh, the biggest thing right now, if he can continue to chip, pitch, and putt the way that he did yesterday, and he can make it through 72 holes of golf over 4 days, then absolutely I think he can get another major. I mean, the bunker shot that he had on 10 to save par was absolutely phenomenal, knocks it within 3 feet. And then the chip shot or the pitch shot that he has on 11 to follow that up to save par. Like, those were great shots yesterday. And usually when you're inconsistent in terms of playing competitive rounds of golf, those are the first things to go away. Like your touch around the greens and your ability to be able to putt consistently. Yesterday, he was a perfect 13 of 13 for putts inside 10 feet. Mm. If he can continue to putt and chip and pitch that way, he's going to have an opportunity to compete in another major and win it. Like that, like they have that old saying, drive for show, putt for dough. Well, I mean, yesterday, Tiger's round is the perfect example of that because he wasn't great off the tee. I think he was 7 of 10 fairways in regulation. He wasn't great in his approach shots. He was 7 of 13 with greens in regulation. But what saved him was the short game and his putter. And so if he can continue to do those things while his body holds up for him to play, you know, 72 holes of golf over a four-day stretch, then, yeah, I absolutely think he's capable of winning another major.
And if he could do that while dealing with inclement weather.
Yeah.
You imagine that he might be able to maintain it throughout the weekend if things clear up.
ESPN, ESPN Deportes has all the coverage all day today of the Masters. And, you know, this week we spent time comparing him to other athletes that we would deem to be his peers, all-time greats later in their career, and whether or not they can get that one more, who's most likely to get that one more. I think where Tiger's a little bit different, specifically than I would say LeBron, is that if Tiger gets one more, as I said, I think he's done. If LeBron gets one more, I think he's going to try to get two more. Like, I don't think you're too close to Michael at that point at six, where you'll go all in to six. I think if Tiger gets to 16, I don't think he's going to look at it as I can get to 17 and 18 close to Jack. I think it's like, I did it. I'm done. I have an amazing relationship with my young children. Charlie, his son, is really a good golfer in Palm Beach County, Florida. Like, I don't see him trying to go for more than one.
Do you think he's...
He's 48, though.
Do you think he can?
I think he would.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to walk away from competitive golf anytime soon. Well, what he means to the sport.
Oh,
he, and then, of course, launching the new brand, Sunday Red. I mean, what better way to advertise the new merch than to play golf at a level that nobody thought you could at this stage in your career?
Yeah, and if you go out there and you win the Masters, why would you think that you couldn't win another one? Why wouldn't you continue on? I get what you're saying because we do see a different level of peace and contentment from Tiger when he talks about his life than we ever have in years past. But this is still Tiger Woods. This is still one of the most elite competitors we have seen across sports in any sport in our lifetime. And for him to go out there and get another one and be that much closer to Jack, I don't know if I could see him just deciding to walk away despite him being in a different place mentally.
We are on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Masters coverage, of course, all day today. ESPN, ESPN Deportes, as I mentioned. Also, late last night, we learned that Kentucky has a new basketball coach. It's not Billy Donovan. It's not Danny Hurley. It's not Jay Wright. It's not Nate Oates. It's not Bruce Pearl. It's former Kentucky basketball player and now former BYU coach Mark Pope.
That was a lot of names you ran through, by the way.
Right?
A lot of no's you ran through.
I think I forgot a couple,
before he got
honest.
To Mark Pope.
Yeah, oh, just wanted to point that
Scott
out.
It's not Scott Drew.
Scott Drew?
It's not Scott. He wore the white shirt with the Mexican restaurant salsa.
Why did you forget him?
gotta get him out of there.
So, Ev, let me get this right. We're going to jettison Coach Cal because he couldn't get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and we're going to hire a coach that has never won an NCAA tournament game. Got it, because that makes sense.
Well,
that makes sense.
Pete Thamel, ESPN senior college writer, had this to say about the Kentucky job and how coaches view that job.
Well, I still think Kentucky is viewed as a destination job. I just think the landscape has really changed to where how much NIL money you have is really like the main factor that recruits look for. It isn't the practice facilities anymore. It isn't the size of your weight room. It isn't the number of seats in your arena like it was 20 years ago. So with the distribution coming to these major conferences from the TV contracts, the world is a little flatter. And coaches have to ask themselves, is it worth $1 million more a year to live in a fishbowl like Kentucky? Take Nate Oates at Alabama, for example. He makes the Sweet 16 or the Final Four. They'll build a statue. If you're at Kentucky, they're asking why you didn't win the title. No, it's just a significant difference. And he's still making about $7 million a year. So it's not, nobody's going hungry in the Oates household. And you get a little bit more of a livable life. And I think for Scott Drew, him turning it down, his wife and family flew to Kentucky on a donor's plane to check it out. They wanted to see it in person before they experienced it. And I think they opted for a very good life that's a little simpler.
So basically what he said is it's not the same job that it once was. Like, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth right there. I mean, he's talking about the shifting landscape, how the distribution in finances from the media rights deals makes it a level playing field, and then it comes down to NIL in Kentucky in comparison to other places in the SEC. Ain't buttering the bread for these recruits coming into college like other programs. So I guess that's the part of it. Like, just with all of the different layers that come along with being a Kentucky men's basketball coach, the involvement with the administration, the athletic director, the president, the pressure that Big Blue Nation, the fan base for Kentucky basketball applies to you, the unrealistic expectations year over year. Yeah, I can understand why coaches are saying the extra $500,000 or $1 million that you're willing to pay me to come here ain't worth it when it comes to the quality of life and having the opportunity to focus on the meat and potatoes of the job, which is having a consistent team, recruiting the talent, and being able to be productive. Like, I just – that to me is telling in terms of where this job is, the fact that they had to go down the line – and land on Mark Pope, knowing that that wasn't their first, second, or third choice.
Yeah, part of the thing that made this job so elite and so alluring in the past has absolutely shifted because of the landscape of college athletics now and how NIL has transformed everything. When you think about it, in the past, you would go to Kentucky because you could sell a certain product or a certain pathway in life to these young men that maybe they wouldn't get elsewhere. You could say, you can come here and win a championship.
I can get you to the league, though.
I can get you to the league, which is ultimately money. But yeah. Now these players are making money at different places because of NIL. So money isn't necessarily a factor. Nope. Winning championships. Kentucky hasn't won since 2012. It's not like they can sell that anymore in the same manner in which they used to be able to. And the pipeline to the NBA has certainly been there with Coach Cal, but he's not there anymore. And a lot of other players at different universities are having success in the league elsewhere. So I think the things that made it an elite and attractive job for coaches, those things are existing at other places now. It's not just at a blue blood like Kentucky.
Did Kentucky give Coach Cal too long of a runway? Did Coach Cal's lack of success in the latter part of the 2010s and the early 2020s lead to it not being a more attractive destination for other coaching candidates? Because like you said, they can't sell winning anymore. They ain't won a championship since 2012. Mm-hmm. Last Final Four was what, 2015? So I mean, like if that's the case, then maybe Kentucky let Coach Cal stay too long. I mean, I'm asking the question. I don't have.
Well,
the
moment you learn, per the Athletic piece, that in 2019, looking back on it, he regrets not taking the UCLA job. Mm-hmm. That would indicate the last 5 years, this would not necessarily be his top choice based on another option he has regret over. I will say this. The Kentucky job may not be as good as it once was. That does not, though, mean Mark Pope may not do a good job.
And I agree with that.
And Mark Pope may actually be a better X's and O's basketball coach than John Calipari. It's just hard to imagine he's going to have better players than John Calipari. What he will have is players for a longer period of time than John Calipari did.
But that's also a way that he could get an edge in a lot of ways at Kentucky that might not have existed before. If tactically the offense is appealing to these kids and they're seeing the way they shoot threes and distribute the ball, and if they have more success in the tournament, that's something that wasn't existing at Kentucky over the past however many years.
Yeah, one thing they're going to do is shoot the lights out of the basketball. All you got to do is see what BYU was
big
this
time.
Year.
Coming up, we're talking about haircuts, right? All day today? Somehow it did not stem from the haircut heard around the world yesterday, right? We got into a haircut conversation, not about the haircut heard around the world. What am I talking about? We'll get to it next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NL West battle Sunday night. Dodgers, Padres. Coverage Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. So, we mentioned the haircut heard around the world. So, we stumbled on a haircut conversation today because we learned that Smalls spent her entire day yesterday getting the hair coloring, and Nuno, our producer, inexplicably, at least in my mind, drives 45 minutes and pays $60 for a haircut, to which CeCe said is absolutely normal because if you find the right person, it doesn't matter where they are or how much to pay, you got to get that right haircut. Well, Tom Brady, the GOAT, got a haircut, at least it was released yesterday, and it was on a podcast, Deep Cut, with Vic Blends, does a great job, inspirational kind of guy, goes around and gives people free haircuts, obviously transitioned into giving some celebrities haircuts as part of his podcast, and, well, this was certainly an interesting Q&A that I don't know that anyone saw coming yesterday with Vic Blends and Tom Brady.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they'd let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Let me tell you something about getting your hair done. When you sit in that chair, you all of a sudden become very vulnerable and honest.
That's true.
Your relationship with a barber or with a hairstylist is one of the most important relationships you have in your life. There's a reason why all the tea gets spilled at the salon and at the barber shop. It's because you're comfortable. Your guard is down. This person is making you feel fresh and clean and look good. And you tend to let the truth slip out when you sit in that chair. And I think that's what happened to old Tom Brady yesterday. I think he sat in that chair. Vic Blends was making him feel nice and comfortable. He knew he was looking good. And he let the truth slip out a little bit.
I never heard of a guy being so discontent with making $300 million to talk about football.
And he hasn't even done it yet.
He hasn't even done it yet. Like, it's like it's the $300 million that he doesn't want. Because he's talking about going back and doing his old job. Who couldn't use an extra $300 million? Now, wait a minute. Like, Tom Brady got plenty of money. Well, who couldn't use an extra $300 million? Come on, Ev.
Oh, I know.
Come
I know.
On now.
But Smalls, you just said something very interesting. Not that you're considering all of his other comments lies, but maybe guarded truth. You think that was the real version of him that we just heard yesterday, which would indicate to me there's a chance he's coming back.
I think deep down, he's obviously thought about it. I think deep down, if he could really have it his way, he'd still be playing. A lot of times the body doesn't allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And he always said, if I can't compete at a certain level physically, I'm not going to just go out there. But I think deep down, this is something he clearly wouldn't be opposed to, as he said. And when he sat in that chair yesterday, or when he sat in the chair to film it, and we released it yesterday, or we saw it yesterday, the truth came out.
Well, I think he's flirting. He's flirting with the idea in his mind, but that's a very different thing than getting your body prepared to go out there and do that.
Correct.
Like Bill Parcells had the old saying, if you're thinking about retirement, you are retired. Well, this is somebody that retired, came back 40 days later, then retired after that season. I don't think this is going to be a third installment of Tom Brady retiring. I think he is done, and he gave himself the out when he talked about his potential ownership stake that's in play with the Las Vegas Raiders pending league approval. So I don't think he's serious about coming back to the NFL, but I think in his mind, he could still do it. And that's what he was kind of alluding to when he sat down in that barber's chair yesterday.
You don't think when he saw Joe Flacco get off the couch and do what he did with the Browns that didn't pique his interest
a
little
bit? Well,
he's
thinking if Joe Flacco can do it, so can I. I'm the greatest of all time.
Of course he
is. Like I said, Smalls, it's a very different thing in thinking about it in your mind versus actually going out there and doing it. And it's not like Joe Flacco was doing anything. Tom Brady actually got something that he's preparing to do starting this fall.
But he's keeping the body in shape. You know that Tom Brady can run faster now than he could at the beginning of his NFL career. I'm telling you, I could so see him watching Joe Flacco go out there and do what he did with the Cleveland Browns. And that throwing some logs back on the competitive fire, like you said. If he can do that, imagine what I could have done with that team.
Yeah, but Tom Brady ain't coming back for the Cleveland Browns, a team like that. Like, it's going to have to be a team that is viewed as a flagship franchise for the National Football League. Ergo, the team that he grew up rooting for, the San Francisco 49ers, but they already got a quarterback in Brock Purdy. So I'm just sitting there thinking about the possible places that Tom Brady would come back for that would allow him to compete for a championship.
There was
that one. Is a very short list.
Oh, well, I mean, Vic Blend specifically led him into the Niners, and he immediately said the Patriots, which I thought was very interesting because I don't believe this time last year he would say it that way. While I don't think there's any beef with he and Belichick anymore at all, I don't think if he would ever sign up to play football, he would sign up to play football at this point in his life for Bill Belichick. Gerard Mayo is his good friend and his teammate. His relationship with Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, is obviously phenomenal. I mean, as a Pats fan, I certainly perked up when I heard that. The Raiders is certainly interesting as that's a team that he potentially could own. Although, if you're Robert Kraft, why are you not trying to get Brady to be an owner of your team? Why would you let him go to the Raiders? Why not get him give him a better deal if you could with the Patriots? Anyway, but there was something else he said that was really juicy too. So Vic Blends on this podcast, Deep Cut with Vic Blends, asked him about the next QB that could win a title that hasn't won one yet.
Next quarterback to win a Super Bowl that hasn't won yet.
I like Josh Allen a lot. I think he's, I'd pick Josh.
Josh?
Yeah. I like Josh a lot as a guy, as a leader. But, you know, he's got to get past the Chiefs, and that's hard because Patrick's incredible in the way he leads that team.
Evan, are you changing your stance on Josh Allen? Is that what today is for?
I've always been a big Josh Allen guy. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
He's an overachiever. He leads them better than anybody else does. I was supportive of the Steph Diggs trade. I did like that. I said this is the make or break year for Josh Allen in terms of his rankings, not if he's good, but his rankings. But yeah, Tommy and I talked, and I told him that, and I said now he's in on Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was a good pick, but I was a little surprised he didn't go Joe Burrow. Because when healthy, I think a lot of people would go Joe Burrow over anybody else in the league as far as quarterbacks who haven't won a Super Bowl.
That's a hell of a caveat, though, when healthy. Yeah. In two of the four seasons Joey B has been in the league have ended with him being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get where Brady is coming from by saying Josh Allen, because the one thing we can't say about Josh Allen is that he's not available. Guy plays in every single game. Now, he might get a ball to the other team in every single game, but he's going to be out there, and that makes a difference. But, yeah, to your point, this year is a referendum on Josh Allen.
No doubt.
Like, he got rid of Stephon Diggs because of the tension that was underlying between him and Josh Allen in the organization. But if what Mike T said is true, if on night one of the NFL draft we see a Brandon Ayuk trade to the Buffalo Bills or a T. Higgins trade to the Buffalo Bills, then all of a sudden how I feel about the Bills, how I feel about Josh Allen going into 2024 dramatically changes. Because if you add one of those guys to the equation without the drama, without the personality traits of a Steph Diggs, then all of a sudden I feel a lot better about what the Bills can accomplish, especially being led by the offense, which is, of course, Josh Allen.
Is there a consensus answer, we think? Like most NFL fans, if we were to ask the same question Brady was asked, and we said, who is the next quarterback to win a Super Bowl that'll be their first Super Bowl win? Because I would have thought the consensus answer is Lamar Jackson. Brady said Josh Allen. Small said Burrow. Right? I would have just assumed Lamar Jackson, who's the two-time MVP, and they were the one seed last year. And I know they have to go through Kansas City, so that's not ideal.
Yeah, but Burrow's been to a Super Bowl, and he's beaten Mahomes. So that's why I go there automatically, because I've seen him get there. He didn't win, obviously, but I've seen him break through that barrier.
Josh Allen has won a division four straight years, and he's had a playoff win in each of those seasons. So I guess that's what you're looking at, too. Like, if you just keep...
What's your answer?
If you keep getting to the dance, then you're going to have a chance to break through eventually. It can't go perfect for the Chiefs every single year, although they're in the conference championship every single year.
It worked out pretty well for them.
Exactly. It's unprecedented. We've never seen somebody win three in a row. So just the odds are dramatically stacked against them, yet right. I'm not betting against them. But if I've got to pick a quarterback that hasn't won a championship yet, that has a chance to break through...
You'll do that coming up.
Hey.
We will get that answer coming up. We'll get your calls in on that as well. 888-SAY-ESPN. The QB that has not won a title that will get there first in the near future. Who is that going to be? The first one to get there first coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tom Brady was asked the question, which QB that has not won a title will get a title first in the NFL today? CeCe, we are waiting for your answer. Smalls gave us Joe Burrow. I said Lamar Jackson would be the logical choice in my head. Chris Canty, your choice?
I'm going to go with Jordan Love from the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
Jordan Love from the Green Bay Packers. Ladies love Cool J. I mean, think about the history of this franchise. Brett Favre won a Super Bowl in his 6th year in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl in his 6th year in the NFL. This will be Jordan Love's 6th year in the NFL. In the second half of the season, he had the highest QB rating of any quarterback in the National Football League. And then, of course, just the way that he stepped on the stage in the postseason, it's clear that it wasn't too big for him. The mistakes that he made at the end of the divisional round game out in San Francisco, I don't think he'll make that again. Again, two picks within a span of 3 minutes, one with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, one with 13-minute mark in the fourth quarter. He's not going to make those mistakes that lead to scoring opportunities for the opposition when the games matter the most. I think he learns from that. This supporting cast around him has an opportunity to grow into their respective roles. They've got proof of concept now that they belong because of what they were able to do getting into the playoffs and how they performed once they were in the postseason. I just think this team fully leans into Jordan Love. They fully lean into the identity that Matt LaFleur wants to create for him, and they take that next step to championship contention.
I thought you were going to pick Jordan Love and the Packers, not only because of the progress that we've seen him made, but because of the NFC. Because I know how hard it is to get past Patrick Mahomes in the
NFC.
There's that, too.
That is not where I thought you were going to go.
Did you think Stroud?
That's where I thought he was going to go.
Yeah, I thought it would be Love or Stroud, one of those two.
So conference matters, though.
Oh, no doubt. Think about it. Tom Brady, when saying he picked Josh Allen to be the first one, the next one to win a championship that doesn't have one, he even acknowledged, hey, you got to go through Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to do that. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen hasn't been able to do that. Now, he caught a bad beat. What was that? The 2021 playoffs where they have the divisional round in Arrowhead and they ended up losing that game. Like, that was tough. Like, that stinks to lose it in that way when you've got the lead and in 13 seconds and Patrick Mahomes drives him in the field goal range, overtime, and then you lose on Tyreek Hill's, catch and run. Like, that is awful. Josh Allen has gotten close, but close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. It doesn't count when it comes to the National Football League, especially when it comes to beating the reigning defending champs.
I'm still surprised by that. That is amazing to think that that would be the quarterback that gets the first title first amongst all of the other ones. Is there anyone else?
Plus, Jordan Love did beat Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in the regular season this past year, too. That happened.
Is there any other quarterback that you guys thought about? Did you think about any of the other NFC quarterbacks, considering they don't have Mahomes in there? Was there any other place
you would... Jared Goff.
Okay, tell us why.
I thought about Jared Goff. Well, I mean, the team around Jared Goff is so good. The Detroit Lions had, what, 5 All-Pros last year? And they're a really young outfit, and they're only getting better. They're fortifying the defensive side of the ball. I really like Dan Campbell as a head coach, my former teammate. Aaron Glenn has grown into his role as a defensive coordinator, another one of my former teammates. I like what they got going on in Detroit. There are good vibes around Detroit.
Sure.
And I feel like they're just one more good draft, one more good offseason away from being a title contender. And they got out to a great start this offseason by trading for Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Bucks and then going out there and signing Marcus Davenport to be a bookend opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. I like the – they also signed DJ Reader. I like the direction that the Detroit Lions are moving in.
Which is why I almost picked CJ Stroud, because I feel the exact same way about the Houston Texans. I love what they have done this offseason. I love that they are not going to seemingly waste – CJ Stroud's rookie contract. They're continuing to build around him. They go out, they give him another new weapon and Steph Diggs this offseason. He showed me a lot last year. Now, I hope there's not a sophomore slump, but he's given me no reason to believe that there will be. And I don't know, there's something going on in Houston where I would not be surprised if CJ Stroud's the one to get it done.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to be a part of the show. We're asking you the question that Tom Brady was asked by Vic Blends, and he gave the answer of Josh Allen, the next quarterback to win his first title in the NFL. A quarterback that is not going to have as easy of a job maybe this year based on what he expected could be Patrick Mahomes. Why? This Rashee Rice situation is getting unfortunate, to say the least. It's already been unfortunate.
Yeah.
And now, as a result of some information that we learn here, that he surrendered to police on Thursday, charges including aggravated assault after he and another driver, which I believe was a player at SMU.
Yeah, Teddy Knox, a receiver from SMU. Yeah.
Accused of speeding sports cars, allegedly caused a crash involving half a dozen vehicles on a Dallas highway last month. That's got to be a penalty along with it, both legally and within the NFL, I am assuming, no?
Oh, no question about it. And SMU has already suspended Teddy Knox. Now,
right,
I guess
so they've done more already.
Yeah, the NFL is going to allow the legal process to play out because there is a presumption of, I guess, innocence in this situation, even though we have the video and the admission by Rashee Rice that he was behind the wheel of that Lamborghini that caused a six-car accident and having several people have to be ushered to local hospitals. So it didn't end in tragedy, but I think the behavior is what we're talking about, and it could have been tragic, right? And the NFL is not that far removed from what happened with Henry Ruggs with the DUI that ended up killing somebody in the most awful of accidents where the lady burned alive. It was absolutely terrible. Now, the NFL didn't have to act there because Henry Ruggs was put in jail. But in this situation, if you're trying to curb the behavior that Rashee Rice exhibited, then the NFL absolutely has to be heavy-handed. So whenever the legal process runs its course, whenever the legal system decides to render whatever justice that they're going to give out, the NFL needs to step in and be very, very strong in their response to what Rashee Rice did. To me, this is one of those types of suspensions that should rise to half a season. I'm looking at 8 games for Rashee Rice. I get it, like DUIs right now under the personal conduct policy and the precedent that they've established is about 2 games. That's what we've seen in the past. This has to be significantly more than that because you are talking about potentially killing people when you cause a 6-car accident on an expressway in the middle of the afternoon.
And I imagine the legal ramifications that will come from this will certainly influence what the NFL decides to do. But I think we can all be in agreement that this is, from a football standpoint, certainly going to affect his availability for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No doubt.
And I think a lot of people had them going wide receiver in the draft anyway to help get Patrick Mahomes another option on the offensive side of the ball. But this is, for a team that we're talking about a three-peat here, this is certainly a hit, I think, to... But I say that, and then Patrick Mahomes goes out there, and it really doesn't matter who's available to him. He finds a way.
You say it doesn't matter, but that was one of their priorities this offseason. Remember, they didn't re-sign L'Jarius Sneed. They traded him to the Tennessee Titans, but they made it a point to go out and get Marquise Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, for them, they're telling you, like, this is a concern of ours. We've got to find this guy. We've got to replace that. Now, they also need help at left tackle. Because they got to figure that part of it out as well because they've had to deal with some hits in free agency along that front. So think about it from this standpoint. In a draft that's not only deep at receiver, that's deep at tackle, Rashee Rice being unavailable might limit the flexibility that their general manager, Brett Veach, has in the early rounds of the draft. That's a part of the problem when it comes to this. But those are all secondary concerns to what the NFL needs to do in terms of sending a message clear to the players, to the coaches, and club employees that this type of behavior will not be tolerated. We shouldn't be legislating the outcomes. We should be about disciplining the actual behaviors to serve as a deterrent. And to me, that is a significant penalty, significant suspension for Rashee Rice that should be coming down the pike.
All right, coming up, we will get your phone calls in at 888-SAY-ESPN on the quarterbacks that could win for the first time. Plus, we got old faces, new places in Major League Baseball. And I get to tell everybody about La Quinta. We all know that breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. Or I'll tell you what I've done when you're not staying at a La Quinta. You eat horribly. You eat like terrible food that you shouldn't eat. You get sick the rest of the day. It's brutal. But if you book at a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. All right, can I check in right now? Because I'm getting really hungry by listening to this. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? I do. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces in New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Blake Snell, San Francisco Giants.
Missing out on Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who signed with their division rivals in Los Angeles, the San Francisco Giants struck late in free agency with the addition of National League Cy Young winner Blake Snell on a two-year, $62 million deal. Snell brings an impressive resume to San Francisco as one of just seven pitchers who've won the Cy Young Award in both the American League and the National League. Snell won his second Cy Young in 2023 after posting an MLB best 2.25 ERA for San Diego. Long renowned for having some of the nastiest stuff of any left-hander in the game, with a vicious fastball-breaking ball combination that should play well in San Francisco's pitcher-friendly Oracle Park, Snell also completes what's been a busy offseason for the Giants. In addition to the overhaul on the field, the Giants fired manager Gabe Kapler and hired three-time manager of the year Bob Melvin, who left the Padres after two seasons to join their division rivals. The Giants have only been to the postseason once in the past 7 years. And hope their offseason moves are enough to keep pace in the uber-competitive NL West and bring postseason baseball back to the Bay Area.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Blake Snell, San Francisco Giants, Old Faces, New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with. Small Giants are 5-8 on the season. Obviously not the start that they wanted here. Can Snell, if healthy, if in rhythm, actually help them here?
Well, if healthy, if in rhythm are both two pretty heavy ifs. But obviously adding Blake Snell to the mix is going to be a positive for your rotation if you're getting that version of Blake Snell. But to hear Jeff Passan just say that the Giants haven't been to the postseason, or they've been to the postseason, one time in the last 7 years, they had that run of absolute dominance for a huge time in the 2010s. And to think that they haven't made the postseason They made the postseason one time in the past 7 years. I think it's also indicative of what their division has been. But, you know, I like some of the moves that the Giants have made, but I don't know if we're going to see it be that markedly different from what it was last season.
No, not with the Padres and the Dodgers on the come. I just think that they're, and of course,
and the Diamondbacks,
you got to deal with them too. They were just in the World Series. You forget that sometimes. But no, I mean, I like Blake Snell, the addition of him, but he didn't cover himself in glory earlier this week. Plus, he left the game after three innings pitched. Mm-hmm. He had, I guess, a bit of a knee thing. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder how long it's going to take for them to build him up where he can make the kind of impact that they're anticipating. Now, I mean, the season is not going to be won or lost for the Giants when it comes to baseball in April. But you don't want to lose ground knowing how good and how consistent the Dodgers have been in that division. They're always flirting with winning triple-digit games. So you don't have a lot of margin for error if you're San Francisco.
Old faces, new places, brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with. Well, that is about the longest I think we can go talking about an NL West player that pitches without actually mentioning Shohei Ohtani, because you can't get too far away from that in Major League Baseball right now. We learned a lot of things yesterday, including, and this is from the government, right? The U.S. District Court released some stuff yesterday for us to see here, and that is his ex-interpreter stole over $16 million from him over 2 years. Ipe Mitsuhara, averaged 25 bets a day. Between $10 and $160,000 per bet, 19,000 bets. He won $142 million over this time and lost about $183 million. So basically, he lost about $40 million. He stole bank record information. He pretended to be Ohtani to get that information. He blocked out his accountants and financial advisors from actually having access to his account. And he admitted, he being the translator, on text to the bookmaker, the illegal bookmaker. Remember, sports gambling in California, not legal. He was with the Angels and the Dodgers now, so living there, that he stole from Ohtani. Smalls, is this what you expected, or is this even more than what you expected based on these stories here in terms of how much this guy did?
Oh, it's way more than I expected. With $16 million? I just don't know how. I know that a lot of athletes sometimes delegate their financials to other people who manage their money, but I can't imagine that over this duration of time, Shohei Ohtani wasn't checking the bank account once. You don't check it at all? There's no one else that is taking a peek at these numbers and seeing these large sums of money that are missing. I know that in the wake of this investigation, we're getting more details as to how Mitsuhara was able to execute this and take advantage of Shohei Ohtani. But I just, guys, can't imagine that throughout that duration, you're not checking the numbers at all. And all of these people that are put in place to be on Shohei Ohtani's team, whether it's his financial advisors or accountants or agent or the people that are running the bank, no one else had checks and balances? They just took this guy at his word?
That's wild to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes zero sense to me either, Smalls, and that's the thing that is most concerning about it. It's just like the people that are supposed to be in place to protect Shohei Ohtani from something like this happening all failed. Like when it comes to the bank and the financial institutions that he was working with, but also when it comes to Major League Baseball. Like, I mean, this is somebody that is a club employee and he's siphoning off millions of dollars from your star player. How can you allow that to happen if you're the Dodgers? How could you allow that to happen if you're the Angels? How can you allow that to happen if you're Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the sport?
So then stop there for a second. Let's go here. What do we want? What do we want to make us feel better about this? Do we want public apologies from the employers? Did they actually employ him, or did Ohtani really push for him? What do we want for a public correction?
The best apology is change behavior. What I want to see is Major League Baseball do a better job of vetting these interpreters, vetting club employees, vetting those people that are drawing a paycheck from a Major League Baseball team that are in the inner circle of these athletes. When you have somebody that has access like Mitsuhara had, he's in the dugout, he's in the meetings, he's at all the games, he's on the road trips. When you have that type of insight into not only Ohtani's life, but all of these players' lives, you as Major League Baseball have to keep a watchful eye on those individuals. You got to make sure that they are above reproach when it comes to any type of impropriety, any type of goings on, just because they have access to sensitive information.
Yeah, I don't care if he's Shohei Ohtani's boy. If he's drawing a paycheck from your organization, it's your responsibility to make sure that he is someone that should be in your employ. And it feels like these baseball teams and Major League Baseball as a whole did not do their due diligence when it came to this guy. His credentials alone didn't stack up.
Yep.
And I know that he had a very tight relationship with Shohei Ohtani that only grew as their years together went on, and that he was very reliant of him. But if this guy is the face of not only your franchise, but of Major League Baseball internationally, you need to make sure that he's protected.
I'm not sure I'm 100% comfortable with how we're portraying this. I'll tell you why. I think there are some people in any business that are so unbelievable at that business or at that field, whatever it is, that they get a hire. The company pays the person, but they really work for someone else. Like Ohtani is so unbelievable that he gets to pick the interpreter, right? Because they knew they were going to have an interpreter. He gets to pick that. There are many people in walks of life that Tom Brady got to hire, in essence. his personal trainer for a while with the Patriots.
But did the Patriots pay him?
They did, but I don't look at him as the Patriots employee.
I thought the players were paying him. Yeah. I thought he had
He
had access to the facility, but I remember that it was the players that were paying Alex Guerrero.
Okay, so then Belichick got Ernie Adams, who was his guy, right? And Robert Kraft famously said, I don't know what he does here. Whose employee is he? And he did everything. He's amazing for them. He was Belichick's right-hand man. You never played on teams where did he? I mean, Eli never got somebody. Coughlin never got somebody.
No, I'm sure that people had access to the facility. Like massage therapists would have access to the facility, but that didn't necessarily mean that they were getting a check from the team. Mm-hmm. If you're getting a paycheck from the team, then I think there's a difference when it comes to the level of vetting that individual should go through.
So then we need, in your mind, based on that, the Angels and the Dodgers need to say something here. Like, hey, we screwed up here with this too.
Well, especially the Dodgers, because I still don't understand how they let him address the team.
A criminal.
Before they informed Shohei Ohtani of what was actually happening. That, to me, needs to be addressed.
And he's yucking it up in the dugout. Laughing during the game.
And people within the organization know that something's amiss?
And
like,
he
come
stole
on.
Millions of dollars from your star player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there needs to be a statement from
right.
them.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the smell test.
So changed behavior, but again, Dodgers and Angels need to step up and say something. Right? Changed behavior.
Yeah, Dodgers, Angels, and Rob Manfred.
Joint statement?
I don't care if they do a joint statement, separate statement. They all need to step up and say, hey, there were institutional failures, and we're going to put safeguards in place to change it so that this never happens again.
So we don't move on until that happens, basically.
Yes.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, here on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.